you can to Luke 5. As I said a couple of weeks ago, when we were coming back together after the summer break, I sense in my spirit, and I feel it deeply, that we are at a place as a church where I think God is wanting to move us into growth and expansion. And I think part of what goes on this morning is that if we want to see growth and expansion in the external stuff of our life, then that will flow out of the growth and expansion that goes on inside us. We live inside out lives, don't we? It's not outside in, it's inside out. And so if we live inside out lives, it's the inside of our lives that we need to nurture. And God, I think it's Proverbs 4, talks about guard your heart because it's the wellspring of life. And so if we guard our hearts, if we tend our hearts and we cause our hearts to grow, then our spirits to expand, then the realities of what's going on the inside will become the realities of what goes on the outside. We did a preach on that a few years ago about our inner realities becoming our outer realities. Do you remember? And that internal reality, God wants to see growth and expansion. I believe that. The verse that you can see up on the screen is the Isaiah 54 verse. That is so meaningful to us as a church fellowship. It's a verse that we go back to and we pray into. And God is speaking to us from this verse right now. Seems to have a bit of a whistle. Is it the projector? If you remember, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, you can look it up on our website. The talk is there for you to listen again or to download. I haven't got time to read it again this morning, but the passage, we've been looking at this passage. And I think what God is saying through this passage, if you read Luke 5, 1 to 11, is this. By Jesus' power and authority, multitudes of people will be caught for eternal kingdom blessings by the followers of Jesus who trust and then teach the word of God, obey the commands of God, humble themselves, and treasure Jesus Christ above all. That's what this passage is talking about. And you can see it in the way that the passage, the parable within the passage unfolds, how Jesus gets into a boat. It's a fishing boat. He talks, he teaches them from the word of God, and then he does an amazing miracle where the fishermen haven't caught any fish, and so the builder carpenter tells the fishermen how to fish by going out and putting their nets out again in the middle of the day. And they obey him, they say, yes, we'll do that. And they catch so much fish that the boats begin to sink. And they get their partners in it. And it's an amazing story about demonstrating Jesus' power and authority. We see the power and authority of Jesus at work in this passage. There's a whole stuff there around multitudes. And multitudes of fish are caught by the fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And that multitudes is something that Jesus wants them to remember as he talks about you're no longer going to be fishers of fish, but you're going to be fishers of people. And multitudes will come to faith. And if you read the book of Acts, you can read there, and again, every now and then it talks about multitudes. And I was saying and stirring us and encouraging us to say, what would it look like for multitudes to come to faith in Chester? Is that possible? Is it possible that the 97% of Chester's population who are not in church this morning, and I've probably been a little bit optimistic even with the 3%, take 100,000 people who live in and around Chester, 100,000 people, what would it take for the multitudes to come to faith? Well, what it will take is you and me, because the way it happens, there's no like plan B. There's no, like, angels are going to come and do it. There are angels involved. And I love Matt's reminding us this morning that there are angels in this room right now. That we're caught up in a story that is eternal. Hebrews 11, where I read from, it talks about that context, isn't it, where we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We're surrounded this morning by this story of thousands who've gone before us, millions who've gone before us in this story of God, followers of Jesus. And that's how it happens. That's how multitudes come to Christ. It comes through the followers of Jesus. That means it happens through you and me. And what does it mean to you to be a follower of Jesus if you are a follower of Jesus? Why? Why are you a follower of Jesus? What difference is it making in our lives? How does our faith affect us? And I just want to reflect on four things about followers of Jesus that I hope is growing and stirring in you. Bill Johnson says this, and it's a phrase that I love, and it's something that I adapt and adopt, is that I'm not primarily concerned as a church leader about building a big church. What I am primarily concerned about is building big people. That you, me, us, we are the means by which God works on the world today, in the world today. And to be followers of Jesus, we are these people. And there's four things that as followers of Jesus that I want you to be growing in. If you're part of this church, I want you to be growing in these four areas. I want you to be growing in the ability to know who you are. I want you to be growing in the ability to know who you are. Who are you? Who am I? Where do you get your identity from primarily? In our dream, we talk about God raising up sons and daughters of the living God. Because that's our primary identity this morning. If you're a follower of Jesus, your primary identity is that you are a son if you're male, and you are a daughter if you're female of a king. That is such a powerful truth. That comes out of the promises of the Word of God. That's why we need to teach the Word of God. I think it's 1 John 4 says how great is the love of God that He has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. But I know and you know that just knowing that sometimes doesn't really help me in the way that I live my life, and there's a journey of 18 inches that has to go on in the truth that we hear and we understand. So we hear a truth about I'm a son, I'm a child, I'm a daughter in our head, but that truth has to go 18 inches into our heart, and that 18 inch journey is like, it seems a really short journey, but actually it can be the hardest journey. And that's why as a church we believe passionately in sozo, in the ministry of inner healing, in the ministry of breaking lies to establish truth. Because I know in your life there will be words that have been spoken over you, into you, by a parent, a teacher, somebody in authority. It could have been a pastor. It could have been something that friends, brothers, siblings have spoken over you that have crushed something in you that is your identity. And that becomes a lie that we give power to when we believe it. And so we have to break the lies and allow the truth to go the 18 inches into our heart so that we know the truth. Does that make sense? There are some things that I know, not because I sort of have an understanding almost. It's like I know it in my spirit. I know it here. And even if the circumstances of my outer life are shouting, that's not true, I know inside that actually it is true. I'm really sorry because I live by faith, not by sight. Am I making sense? And so we need to know that. We need that teaching. We need that. And so at the heart of all of this, knowing who you are, is a deeper understanding and revelation of the Father heart of God. The Father heart of God has to be the foundation. That's why when that's why we sing a song, isn't it, where he's a good, good Father. That's who you are. That's who you are. And I'm loved by him. That's who I am. That's who I am. We need to meditate. We need to allow that truth. So firstly, growing in that, knowing who you are. If you're struggling with your identity, if you're not sure who you are, then there are ways to grow in that. That's about our discipleship culture as a church that we'd seek to develop. There's ways of in community to find people that you can meet with, pray with, walk with, learn from. The metaphor of family is the key thing that we want to use as a church to describe what we are, because actually we are children together of a Heavenly Father. So that's the first thing I want you to grow. And secondly, I want you to know more and more about what you do. The followers of Jesus did something. They heard what God said, and then they did something. In this passage, Jesus said, do something, and then Peter obeyed it. There's an obedience in it. We need to know what we do. And what we are about, primarily, as a group of people, is that we are primarily about praying that prayer, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's our primary focus, isn't it? It's to see God's kingdom come and God's kingdom be established. Therefore, what we want you to grow in is we want you to grow in the ability to be naturally supernatural. We are naturally supernatural people because the Spirit of God lives in us. Therefore, every one of you in this room has the ability to hear God's voice, to be supernatural, to be naturally praying for people, hearing God's voice, the prompts of the Spirit, the words of knowledge, words of wisdom, gifts of healing, stepping into these things, growing in bringing heaven to earth primarily, to see God's kingdom come, thy kingdom come on earth, to grow in that. Thirdly, as a follower of Jesus, we want you to know that there is a reason why you are alive today. There is a purpose, there is a destiny. That's why in the context of what was going on with Ollie and Chantal in the WhatsApp group that the worship team have, there was some responses and some texts going back and forth about a song that just seemed to speak into that moment. It's the song that we sang. Your plans are to prosper us. What the enemy means for evil, he turns it for our good. There is destiny over our lives this morning. There is a sense of destiny. I think that's why it feels weighty. You take a child like Neve and all the potential of that child and the love and the care that's been poured into it. And there's a sense, isn't that we want to see the destiny of that child fulfilled. And that sort of symbolizes the destiny of thousands of people. So if we as followers of Jesus, one of the things that we need to be growing in is that sense of purpose, sense of destiny. that you're not here by mistake. There is a sovereignty of God that goes on far and beyond what we understand. His ways are not our ways. And we trust him in the midst of life. That's why it's so important to build our trust, because we're looking to grow you and help you understand why you are alive today. What's the passions in your heart? I love it over, if I reflect over the years, and different people have come into my life and into this church, and I've got to know them, and there's been a passion in their heart, and I've been able to get alongside them and say, come on then, let's go for that passion. Let's develop it. Let's grow it. Let's get a group of people around you. Let's see what God can do with the seeds of passion that are in your heart. And in this place, there are passions, there are visions, there are desires that God has planted in your heart. And if I can do anything to help, that's why I'm here as your pastor. I'm here to get you to be the big person that God has called you to be. And to pull out the gold that's in you. Because God has planted dreams in your heart. And life and situations and circumstances and people and words will squash the dreams. But this is a place where we can dream together. To dream together, what would it take for this church to be part of a move of God in the city of Chester to see multitudes? Multitudes of people come to Christ. Not necessarily to build our church. I stay the same size. But the church will grow, won't it? Because multitudes. What would that take? What the dreams in your heart are part of the answer to that question. They're not all in my heart. I've got some dreams. But we've all got dreams. Some of those dreams will take us out of this city. Some of those dreams will plant us into this city. And then fourthly, it's connected. It's like, well, in the midst of that, then where are you going? It links into that. Where are you going? Where has God planted you so that your identity, your purpose, your sense of being alive, how is that fulfilled? And for many of you, that's about understanding the sphere of influence that God has put you into. So you have got a sphere of influence that is unique to your life. You've got people around you, you've got family, you've got friends, you've got work colleagues, you've got neighbors, you've got people you might meet in the gym, in the leisure life. That's your sphere of influence. That's where God has planted you. That's where you are going. That's where you bring the king's influence. That's where your light shines. And it's not just about, and I hope you understand this if you've been around us, it's not just about the four walls of the church, HBC, and the things we do, which is great, and we need you to do stuff. We do things together. We run a kids club, or we do youth work, or we get involved in food bank, and we do projects, which is great. But we also want to do whole life, don't we? That's the missional community thing. It's like we're doing life together. And the people that we mix with and meet with and walk with, that's our sphere of influence to bring the kingdom of God. Don't allow anybody to steal a sense of call that you have on your life because you're not full-time in Christian work or anything daft like that. Some of you who've been Christians a while will know that we've had to work really hard to break down the spiritual and the secular divide and say that whole of life is spiritual. We're all called to go into the world. So if you're a teacher, if you're a businessman, if you are a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you're a lorry driver, if you're a driving instructor, you know, if you work in an office, that's where God has planted you. Does that make sense? That's where God has planted you to be the person that God has called you to be. And our job, my job, is to equip, resource, nurture, develop, help you grow. And if I'm not, I want to be, tell me. Tell us, how can we help you? What do you need to do that? Together, so that in the followers of Jesus, we are the ones who are caught up in this plan, this destiny of our city, where multitudes come to faith. Because we, as followers of Jesus, are living the life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that you are here. Thank you that you are speaking. Thank you that we are in this together with you, Lord, that you have given us everything we need to get the job done. And so stir us up even this morning in our lives, Lord, as we go about just the ordinariness of life. May we know that we are extraordinary people, that you are with us and for us and in us, and all this stuff, Lord, that we feel and want to be, we want to see some of this kingdom come as it is in heaven. Let it be on earth in Chester, Lord, even in this week as we go from this place. Send us out, Lord, we pray. So we're just going to take the last 10 minutes of our time together. We have the communion table out here, and